All right, what's going on, guys? We are here, obviously, in very rainy Long Beach. It's the end of the event. I'm going to take a few minutes to go talk to our top three drivers. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, they drove through some of the most insane conditions we've seen here in Long Beach since, I think, like 2016. But it was able to get a couple of minutes in with all the drivers, ask some questions, see how they feel about the rain, about the setup, about their accomplishments, and what the rest of the season looks like. So stay tuned. This is a fun one.
Yeah, just wear the beanie. That's it.
That's pretty solid. I feel good about that. That's a good way to start this. Get the attitude up high, you know.
Good trade 2Js if you could become Wolverine.
Where are you getting all this information?
I definitely heard some rumors about it. Are you still going? I get goosebumps thinking about it because it's like you can hear them get
the car. I was going to qualify and I was going to drive that out the racetrack.
Just threw the hood over the ditch and
longest employee of Knox.
You did some digging there, huh?
All right. Third place, Odie Bakshi's. How are you feeling?
Feeling really good, man. I feel like the hard work's paying off. We worked so hard before the season. I have to drive. I have to manage the team. It's a lot of load, and sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? But when you pull it off and you do well, it's rewarding. So
it's worth
stoked.
It.
Yeah. Both cars on the box, man. It's great.
I can't imagine. Like, I have a decent idea as to how much work goes in. I know how much you guys were pushing through the off season, so this has got to feel very rewarding.
It is, yeah. It's great, and it's making us even more hungry and just excited about all the next coming rounds.
Yeah, I don't want to call it too early, but like, I mean, Field Suspension Race Team right now for a team is first in points.
Yeah. So yeah. No, and that's what we're shooting for. And I mean, when we're up there, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah.
You know, because we worked hard for this, and we planned on it, and you know. Hell, if anything, I'm sure Simon and I are like, man, we wish we were in first, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll take it, and it was really good. The conditions were so crazy, too. That really threw a wrench in everything, you know?
Yeah.
Our cars do really, really good when it's dry. They do fine in the wet, too, but we had such a strategy in the dry.
Yeah. Speaking of the wet, I'm not asking you to give away all the secrets, but for people listening at home that have no idea how to set up a car in the wet, can you like give me just even whatever info of like, hey, you should be doing these things. Maybe not have to, but like, here are the basics that you need to do in your car.
Sure. Honestly, you're going a lot slower in the wet.
Yeah.
Like here, we're roughly going half the speed. So you got to think realistically. I either have to re-gear the car to be in the proper RPM range or run a gear lower, whatever mathematically computes to that. So that's a very basic one, very fundamental. Remove the rear sway bar. Usually, rear sway bars are not helpful in the wet.
Right.
It makes the car a little more sketchy than it needs to be in the wet. And if you got good adjustable shocks that actually do something when you adjust them, going a lot softer on low speed, compression damping, and speeding up the rebound helps quite a bit as well.
Oh, you'll get to see them after. Don't worry.
Sorry, man.
Nah, it's
this guy's
good,
just
man.
Super excited.
This is the best part about it, you know, having
I have
having
to
podcast
do this. I'm a family dude, and I'm away from family so much working on this race team that, you know, they just got to tag along.
Yeah, that's great.
And I mean, be a part of it.
I couldn't imagine, like, growing up at a racetrack. I mean, my kids definitely spend quite a lot of time there, but it's, I mean, what an interesting way to grow up, right? And, like, life experience of learning what this is like. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
There's nothing to replace that.
And traveling, you know, I get to take them to all kinds of different countries. I mean, we ran into each other in Germany.
Yeah.
My kids were there. Like, you know,
so
it's
cool.
It's good. They get that well-rounded kind of outlook on life.
Imagine geography that's interactive, right? Like,
yeah.
You go to geography and you're like, hey, this is where it is on the map. And you're like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've been to all these countries. Yeah. So, no, it's super cool. What is your mindset when it starts raining? Obviously, you said you had a plan, so it's a little frustrating to be like, ah, we had such a good build set up. But are you like, hey, it's raining, cool, I'm just going to do this?
You know, it's kind of going to sound weird, but I'm kind of like almost like initially at ease because I'm like, everyone is getting fumbled around. Like, everything that any of the...
Gotta love it. It's a racetrack. I can't complain. For everybody at home, it'll be fine.
I mean... All the little things that you were worried about maybe that weren't working out now go out the window.
Right.
And everything resets. So, and I always feel confident in our cars. They have so much adjustability that we can make them work for the rain.
Okay.
But it is kind of frustrating when you're on a tear in the dry and you still have some more in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You can't employ that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like scanning through the cars, they look very much the same. The way they're performing, you're getting similar results, but they're quick. They're very quick. So whatever magic you're working on, you hinted on a little bit earlier. I'm not here to reveal anything, but like you're getting ahead of the pack. Like, you're finding things, finding these small opportunities to really push forward.
I think so. I think we're onto something. And, you know, technology these days is crazy. The sport of drifting. I was looking at the Air Force, right? Like, that's crazy technology that we don't even know about. But I like to think that what we're doing with the technology that's available to us and how much we're pushing things to their thresholds, I feel like we're doing a lot. We're learning a lot. And that information, that knowledge bleeds out of the sport and into other things as well. So I'd like to think that drifting has gotten to the point where we're helping a lot of these brands that make parts and develop parts with a ton of feedback, a lot of demands, and it's pushing the whole aftermarket automotive industry.
When it trickles down too, like people are like, oh, I don't like FD, but it's like, listen, if it wasn't for FD, we wouldn't have WiseFab the way it is now. It wouldn't be something that you have at a much lower tier because it wouldn't exist.
I think just even take it a layer back, you wouldn't have what else is at this top level in sport compact racing.
Right.
Period.
Yes. That's a very good way of putting
it. And we're keeping, I think, sport compacts alive. Like that's what it is. And I run a company that heavily sells to sport compact enthusiasts. So I see it firsthand, but I'm stoked that the sport is keeping so many brands alive. There's so many people making a living, making parts for not just like guys like us that race, but guys that go on the street and want really good, reliable parts that make their car more fun.
Yeah, no, you're doing incredible things for the sport. Obviously doing incredible things here at FD, and I'm so pumped to just see what you guys do. Atlanta's going to be crazy. So thanks again for taking a few minutes while I get back to the family. Dinner sounds like it's almost done.
It's smelling delicious.
I know, it's all good. Dude,
thanks again. For your time, man.
Happy to be here,
always
man.
A pleasure to chat.
All right, buddy. Simon, dude, what's up? How you feeling?
I got to watch my language here, but
fine.
I'm really good, really good. It's been a roller coaster for sure. We started off media day feeling kind of good, and then we started off with practice, also very good.
Yeah.
And today we started off a little bit not so good, to be honest. We were struggling a little bit, finding our place in chasing and everything. Also, lead was actually lacking a little bit of... commitment?
Yeah.
But I ended the practice or the warm-up session with two good runs, one lead and one chase, and that gave me a good feeling going into my top 32 competition.
Nice.
Got that win. That was very good. That boosted the... How can you say it?
Confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. That's what I'm here for.
Boosted that a little bit, and then from there it was like, okay, we got that sorted out. So now we can go full power, and whatever happens, happens. And I guess we made it to the finals.
You did. You did, man. So close to that win.
Yeah.
I'm so here for that win. I want you to get. I mean, you want everybody to win, but
absolutely.
Like, you know, I know how long you've been fighting for this. I know how much it means, like being part of the program and getting to this point. So real close. So when the rain starts coming in, what goes through your head? Because like you've got a lot of experience in not ideal conditions. Do you get like more confident, less confident? Like what do you think when you start seeing rain?
I mean, normally it's like kind of okay. If it starts rain, it's like whatever.
Yeah.
But definitely on this track in particular, it's very sketchy.
Okay.
It's the walls are still there.
Yeah.
And you don't have the safe zone anymore because it's really like ice skating out there.
Yeah.
So when it first started raining and I saw the battle against Connor and Turk.
Yeah.
And I saw how that went. I was like, and that wasn't even much rain.
No, it was just a little
bit. I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be tough. But we got a side lap, and I was like, it's not too bad.
Okay.
I know how to do this.
Yeah.
So we got out there. We went for it, and as soon as I initiated, it was like super sketchy and super slidey. No traction whatsoever. And then as soon as you were done with the initiation and you got the car settled and good to go, it was actually kind of fine.
Okay.
And I feel like I have a very good foot for the wet conditions because, in Norway it rains a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like every day.
Yep. So, and also we have snow. We have all the tricky conditions that we get to experience when it's raining. And like I said, that was like, as soon as I had the first battle out or the first lap out on wet, I was like, okay, I know how to do this. So this, let's take it on.
You get a little bit more confident that way. And the thing is, like, depending on the driver, some of these guys are California natives. Like, they don't deal with this nearly as often. Yeah. So, but that's good. I mean, I'm glad you had the confidence.
Absolutely. And it's not me at all. It's the team. They prepared me super well for this. We have been working with rain setup specifically because we knew at some point it will start rain.
Yeah.
And with a big V8, that helps a lot, but it makes a ton of power, so you need a good rain setup. And we worked that out, and like I said, it took us to the final. Couldn't beat the RTR James Dean today, but I will take a second place. And to be fairly honest, he deserves that win so bad after the fire on me today.
Yeah, I mean, it makes for a great story, that's for sure, like seeing him get
Absolutely.
That win. I mean, it looked like in your chase on that, it was just squirrely. Like, he was hitting a lot of the zones, and yep. he's so fluid in the rain. It's, yep. I mean, I'm sure it's easier to chase, but also you're like, oh my God, how is he doing this?
He is the three-time champion back to back to back. He's won everything.
Yeah, literally everything.
Yeah, so to have a fair and square battle with him and kind of close battle, I would say.
Yeah.
It's not too bad at all. This is my fourth year here now and just collected my fourth trophy.
Look at that.
Podium.
Nice.
So it's a great start for the season. Also, Odie getting third place. That's a great start for Field Suspension Race Team.
Oh, look at Castro even giving you a round of applause out there.
What's Thank up, you, buddy? Absolutely.
No, it's good, man. It's seeing your progression has been phenomenal. I mean, it's everybody's pretty aware. You and I are good friends outside of the track,
Absolutely.
Too. So it's cool getting to be up there and call some of your runs. Like, you know, it's neat. You and I have gone back a couple of years now. So
Absolutely.
It's been really, really neat. And it makes me excited to see kind of what's next. Speaking of what's next, like Atlanta, love it, hate it. What are your thoughts on Atlanta?
To be honest, Atlanta has never been one of my favorite tracks either. It's a sick place. The crowd there is amazing. But I'm still trying to figure out that track.
Okay.
That was the track I did the worst at last year.
Yeah.
So I got to back that up a little bit. But we're coming for it. We have the team. They know a lot about these cars and setup and everything. So I'm sure we'll be better prepared this year.
Yeah.
I'm going back home doing one round of the Norwegian Drift Championship.
Oh, you're gonna do one. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna do two.
Okay.
But the first one is in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I have some wrenching to do, and then it's right back to the simulator to get used to and get ready for Atlanta.
Sick. Is that your quote-unquote home race for that one? Like, is that at the gas station, if you will?
No, it's not. It's a little bit further. It's
okay.
in Sheehan, but as maybe some of you guys know, my good friend Anders.
Yeah.
He lives up there, so I've been driving up there quite a lot, and it's going to be nice seeing all my homies again and drive in front of them.
Yeah, it'll be good to see Anders, and congrats to him on being a new dad. That's
absolutely
super cool. It's cool to see him as a dad. I'm sure I'm very
He's
excited. I want to. I have got to be able to open, and I'm trying to make all of it work as long as nothing else jumps in. So might need a couch to crash on if I make that trip. So
you heard it, Anders. You have to figure that out.
All right, Anders, find me a spot, dude. So, dude, so happy for you. So stoked. You're going to get that win. It's coming. You're driving so well. The win is coming.
Yeah, I'm sick or tired and losing for RTR, so we got to step it up somehow. So
Soon, buddy.
No, thank you very much.
No worries. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
How you feeling? We were just talking about this. Like, the adrenaline's coming down. Obviously, everyone sees you very emotional and stoked, but, like, this is now back to real life. How are you feeling?
Yeah, the emotions were extremely high when my name was called out because what we went through as a team this week from Tuesday to almost.
Yeah.
Hearing my name called out as the winner. That felt impossible.
Yeah.
That really felt impossible on Tuesday evening. Even in Wednesday, on Thursday, I was like, I'm not sure about this. And a lot of the team also felt that way, but they just kept on pushing.
Yeah.
Everyone worked so hard to get all the parts out here in time, and they worked basically shift work, more than shift work, because they were in the workshop pretty much 20 hours a day, sleeping.
I don't know if labor laws apply when it comes to a race team.
Oh, I know, but this is extreme.
Yeah.
This was extreme, especially with the kind of work they were doing. like rewiring when you're absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how that would feel.
I was chatting with Ray about it. He goes, we just pulled all of the wiring out. Yeah. Like, couldn't save anything. No, like, I can't even risk it. He goes, everything, the whole body harness, everything's got to come out.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
It was so much work to do in 2 days, but they just pushed through it. And, you know, even for me as a driver to go back out there and go out to practice, my first lap back in the car, my last lap in the car, it just went up in flames. And we didn't, because there was so much fire, we didn't know what caused it.
Yeah.
So like somewhere in the back of your head, you're like,
it could still be there.
Could that happen again?
Yeah.
But as soon as I was at the line, I was like, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I pushed through it. And my first lead was against Connor. And we tapped the walls. And I felt like, okay, we can do this.
That's got to be...
It started from there. Once I had that run kind of done, I was like, okay, let's just push hard.
I did see that run. I mean, I wouldn't say like emotional, but like there was a feeling I got when I saw both you guys run. I'm like, this, like that dirt road in Cork, man.
Yeah.
Like I still don't get it. And I'm almost tired of like asking like what it is, but yeah, it's so cool to see him over and then seeing what you did and then like what he's already been through with this, like, just
it's
inspirational.
It's a wild sport, man.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a wild sport. And I'm very, very proud to be Irish. And I think that we're very lucky that the Irish Drift Championship, it's a small country. So everyone kind of knows each other maybe better than, say, people do in America. So like you make more friends with your drivers, the different drivers in Ireland. And when we drive together, like if it's for practice or something, it's just like they're actually the best battles you'll ever see.
Yeah.
When we're just like, there's no one cares.
Well, it's,
and it's just insane.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think we just push each other and push each other and push each other, and yeah, we all want to be better than your neighbor.
There's,
you know?
I mean, there's definitely some, like, you guys are all very friendly, but like deep down, there's this like strange competitive ego that you all have that I've seen come out. But it's like, it's not malicious. It's just like, no, I'm better than you. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you that I'm better than you. But the other guy's got the exact same feeling. And it makes for these insane battles. Like, you guys in practice, I'm like, dude, this is like a Final Four battle we're seeing. And you guys, you're just testing. He had to make some changes. You guys are just testing cars.
And we're pushing.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is like, you know, Poland all over again. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. No, that's wild. I love, especially, I love driving with people that you've driven with for fun. Because you know you can trust him. So like if it was the other way around, I was chasing Connor, I would trust him so much because I know he won't, you know, do something silly.
He
always drives to the, he does what he has to do. And you can trust in that. Like it's going to be a really solid lead. It's going to be aggressive. It's going to be fast and you can push hard. So I'm sure we'll see that later on this year.
Yeah. I mean, we all have those feelings of like just going and like banging doors with your friend and you guys get to do it at the highest level now.
It's wild, man.
Yeah. Again, like highest level in a different continent again.
Yeah. Yeah. So in front of a different stage, different people, different drivers,
different
fans. Yeah. Like it's, I love driving an FD. Like I absolutely love it. There's something special about this track. I got my first FD win here and then to make it all the way to the finals tonight and take that win is like a lot, man.
How do you go back to like ordinary life? Like obviously your normal life is still pretty
God.
Nuts.
I cannot wait to go back home and just
is the mower just waiting?
I hope it's not raining so I can cut my grass. I just cannot wait to meet my family, meet my friends.
Yeah.
And literally chill out, relax. Yeah. Like this was intense. It was a build up no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to come back hard this year. But then when we had the fire, it's like, oh, this is a big kick, you know?
Yeah, you really got to stop wrecking $500,000 cars, man. It's a problem.
I know, but no matter what, they'll get us back out there.
Yeah, there's got to be confidence in that in practice, just being like, I know, I don't want to wad it up, but I know I can confidently push and everything will be handled.
And honestly, since Irwindale and now this weekend, two times, I've really felt like they have my back no matter what.
Yeah.
They, no matter what happens. Like it was unlucky. Two times we had major incidents. It wasn't my fault, but they just got us back out there.
Yeah.
They got us back out there and I know they will work hard and do whatever it takes to get us back there. And knowing that now and getting to know the team a lot more because we've been through the heat, we've been through the fires.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
And I really respect this team and what they do. And, you know, it's unreal. And even spending time with Vaughn behind the scenes and getting to know him. Like, I know him for years. I know him since the first time I met him was 2008 at the Red Bull World Drift Championships. And I was like, oh, that's a cool dude. Driving a Ford Mustang back then.
Yeah.
And, but actually getting to know him personally, he is like the most positive man I've ever met. No matter what happens, it's like he looks at the bright side and that's inspirational.
Yeah, it's but as a, like a leader within the team, you have to do that, right? If everybody else is panicking, if everybody else is like, what the hell, you've got to be the guy who's
It's still easy to say that's what you have to do, but a lot of people would break under the pressure. And I've seen the most extreme situations in drifting.
Yeah.
And the way he looks at everything is like no other. And I just have huge respect for him.
No, it's good. And I'm hoping maybe that helps, you know, outside of your program too, like looking at the business sense side of things too. Like obviously you've got a successful career, nothing against that, but like he's got this massively successful set of businesses.
Next
so
level,
you're sitting there going like, okay, I've got these championships now. What do I do with them to like make an immense amount of money? Right. Cause that's kind of like, I'm not saying like the greed is the part of it, but you know, to learn the business side of drifting now too, and be like, okay, this is how he scaled what he did into, you know, two transport trucks right now.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's just a different scale.
Different scale. But for me personally, I don't look at it like, oh, this is about any form of money. When I'm sitting on the start line, I would literally, if I was going to get the win, I would happily be broke and have nothing.
Yeah.
Like, competition for me means so much. And there's no better feeling than, you know, hearing your name call out like it was tonight.
Can't imagine.
It's unbelievable, and it's something money cannot buy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, we've seen people come into the sport with a ton of money. It doesn't mean you win.
No, absolutely not.
Sometimes it means the complete opposite.
Yeah. Sometimes if you jump in the deep end too quick, it's like you just start to hate the sport because it doesn't go your way. You don't understand it. You don't get the skill set that you do when you start with the basics and slowly build it up to your level. And like that's what I did.
Yeah.
I started with nothing.
No, I know. And I think I've talked about this before. I have some like trepidation with some of the people coming up in drifting now who there's such a benefit to having all this knowledge, right? Like you can go on the internet right now and build an E46 perfect right out of the gate, right?
Yeah.
All the info's there, all the parts are there. If you have enough money, you can build a perfect E46. But I think the problem with that is you never learn how to deal with a real shit car. You don't know how to deal with a car that's down on a ton of horsepower. You know, you never feel drift, right? You never
exactly.
learn.
Or if you're doing an event and something fails or somebody crashes into you and your alignment's out. Oh,
right.
How do I drive it now? Because it doesn't feel the same. Like you have to drive cars that are shit.
Broken. Yeah.
You have to drive shit cars to become better.
Yeah.
100%. And like, I used to be very fussy about alignments and like having everything absolutely perfect like years ago. But the more you get into it, sometimes in a practice car, even if it's beat up, you're like, oh, let's just drive it. And
you just deal with it.
Yeah, you just deal with it and work around it. And that, I think, stands to you when it comes to competition and some shit happens and you know what to do.
Well, that's the trick. I mean, if you want to be as good as James Dean, just drive shit cars. And then eventually get a good car and you're like, oh, this is perfect. I don't have to drive around. But
these good cars are hard to drive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, these cars are wild. They're absolutely wild. And dude, I'm pumped. I'm excited to see what happens in Atlanta.
Me too. Bossman's back too.
Dude, that's going to be kind of fun.
And he wiped the floor last year.
Dude, he crushed.
Yeah. So I said to him, I hope it's not raining there or you're going down.
That's cool. I'm excited to see all three RTRs back out again. I really hope you guys get to battle it out. I'd love to see, you know, you versus Ben. Then, like, just all...
That's a very good chance because they might both have to do the seeding bracket. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe does Vaughn have enough points?
Yeah, no. No, because it's from this round. Vaughn's got 0 points.
But he was in the bracket, so does he get points for that?
That's a good question. We did talk about this in the driver's meeting, I believe, because he didn't technically turn a lap. He never actually participated in the event.
Got it.
He was registered, but he didn't participate. So he doesn't
It'll
get points.
It'll be interesting to see that.
So there's a good chance that Ben and Vaughn are going to be in the seeding bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of them might have to face... me.
Yeah.
So like that's wild. RTR battle to start it off.
This is my favorite part about this seeding bracket thing is that we can like technically once this episode comes out, everybody already know.
Yeah.
So it's like you can start picking fantasy stuff weeks and weeks in advance.
It's wild.
And for like a data nerd like me, oh, it's golden. It's just so great. So I'm like, oh, there's a pop.
The only funny thing about it is data and like trying to figure out someone and then
it rains.
And then it rains, or someone dropped a bit of oil on the inner clip. Yeah. No matter who it is, you cannot plan for what's going to happen when you go down that hill.
Your car get fire. Yeah, caught fire. Yeah, you know.
Exactly. Like, you cannot make plans. You can do your best to try to predict the most likely thing to happen, but every time you're sitting on that line and you're about to go, the drivers don't know, people watching don't know, anything could happen.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
What a wild sport.
Dude, love it. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes.
No worries.
Relax.
I'm exhausted, Guinness, so I apologize.
No, dude, this is perfect. This is the James Dean that I don't think a lot of people get to see, which is cool.
Yeah. I love drifting and love where it's going. Let's keep it going. And thank you to the fans that support the sport. Like, it's getting bigger and bigger. Let's keep on pushing it.
Sick. Couldn't have said it better. Dude,
thank you, man.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
All right. Thank you so much to Odie, to Simon, to James. They're all tired. They're all covered in champagne. They just want to get out of here. But I'm really appreciative that they took a few minutes to obviously, you know, chat with me and give me some updates on it. Let me know if you guys like this show, this post-event show. We got some plans to expand it, make it a little bit different, sit down with more drivers. I don't know. I really like the feedback. I love when you guys tell me what you want to see. I do want to take a minute and say thank you so much for everybody who bought a hat. We have sold almost half of them already, which is insane. So I have to do another order soon. But thank you so much for all that support. If you do want to check them out, you can check the link here in the podcast description. You can check out 144. You can also check out shopfd.com. And then obviously, if you're in Canada, Tuner Society is carrying them there. So awesome event. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We're going to catch you at the next one.